If you're in the oil and gas industry, you know how important it is to efficiently transport water to your next completion job. The folks at Western Company of Texas Oilfield and Transfer Service are your answer. They have a large inventory of irrigation pipe and transfer pumps available to fit your water transfer needs. And most importantly, they're ready to go 24 hours a day. Think Western Company of Texas, the best in oilfield water transfer service and the guys with the green pumps. To serve you better, call 940-389-3806. That's 940-389-3806.
It's the show you don't want to miss. The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show as we get set to preview the Red River Shootout. And all I can say is that this year's game should be more intense than last year's with a number of compelling storylines. First of all, of course, this game features two of probably the best quarterbacks in all of college football. And I will say that Texas certainly has a chip on their shoulder and will serve as a nice motivator after the Longhorns, even with their 10-point win last year against Oklahoma, and they finished with a 12-1 record. They did not get into the Big 12 title game, and of course they didn't get into the national championship game. So with all that being said, we thought we would huddle up with a well-known sports personality right here in our backyard in the great state of Texas. I know you're going to love hearing from him, CBS's very own Bill Jones. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. At any time, especially to talk about this game, it's my favorite game of the year.
It certainly is a game that all of us have had marked on our calendars for a period of time. But I have to ask you, Bill, before we dissect and preview the big matchup, I had no idea until I had the opportunity to work with you last month on the Oklahoma-Idaho State game that you were an OU alum. How in the world did the Jones family allow you to go up north on I-35?
Actually, it's funny you mention that because it's the Jones family that probably lured me north on I-35 to Norman. I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Irving, but my whole family roots, both on my mother's side and father's side, are in Oklahoma. In fact, my mother is from Muskogee. My dad was from Okemah. And then when I was in school there, I have three sisters too. All of us went to OU to school. My whole family went to OU. And in fact, at the time when I was in school at OU, there were probably, I think we counted at one time, there were like 15 or 16 Jones cousins that were in school at the same time there. So it wasn't unusual for a Jones to go to OU.
Well, I was kind of curious because I thought, was Bill Jones, perhaps you were a rebellious teenager, but as you're saying, it was a big part of your family. And now, of course, being the father of three lovely daughters who are all grown for the most part, they're being very allegiant to Dad. And I guess, what, two of them have gone to Oklahoma or just one?
Actually, just one. My middle daughter, Jessica, is a sophomore at OU right now. My oldest daughter, Jennifer, decided that she wanted to go to a smaller school, so she wound up at Dallas Baptist, and now she's in dental hygiene school. But Jessica, the middle daughter, just couldn't believe it when Jennifer didn't go to a college and had a football team.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it kind of brings us back, and my youngest daughter, Jordan's a senior in high school in Southlake, but it's kind of brings us back to the OU-Texas game in that one of my favorite memories of this game was taking Jessica, the middle daughter, to the 2000 game, which was the 63-14 OU win. And I can't remember why it was Jessica who wound up going. I think she was the one that had the most interest in going. And so, and if you remember, that game was played in the rain. But being an OU grad and an OU fan, you know, it was a brilliant day for the Sooners. And I think that was when the brainwashing occurred on Jessica, where she knew at that moment that she was going to OU to school.
Well, it all worked out. Bill Jones is joining us this weekend right here on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, we know him well in this market with CBS 11. We do want to pause and recognize our premier corporate sponsor. That's the good friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. And you can go to their website at our website, that is eradiosports.com, and join us on twitter.com/eradiosports. Well, let's get back on track. Let's talk about this game. And as you had just said, Bill, you know, certainly a series that has been so memorable over the years, whether you say Oklahoma, Texas, Texas, Oklahoma. Just what are your thoughts on this particular year? Of course, Texas being ranked third in the country, Oklahoma, we've seen some polls, what, 18th, 20th. What storyline stands out to you the most?
Well, I think it's very interesting because I think it's really, with all due respect to Texas Tech, it's Texas' first real challenge of this year. And when you look at their schedule, it may be, obviously I think it's their biggest challenge of this year. And again, I say it with all due respect to Tech. I think if they had played Tech later in the season, that might have been a tougher game for them, and had they had to play them in Lubbock again. But and I think with Bradford coming back last week, that adds some intrigue. I thought Bradford looked great last week. Now, the problem OU has is they have so many problems with their receiving corps being able to catch a ball, whether it's from Landry Jones or Sam Bradford, and the offensive line. And if the offensive line can protect Bradford this week, then you know, things could go the Sooners' way. But I think Texas should be the favorite, as they are. You know, Colt McCoy is just a brilliant quarterback in that he has tremendous accuracy, and I think it's because he's such a smart quarterback. He does have NFL-type arm strength and accuracy, but what he did and why Texas was able to win the game last year is he's smart enough to be able to offset the aggressive defensive style that OU typically plays, and can find, like in the case last year, Chris Obanaya is running back out of the backfield, or Jordan Shipley. I think that's the difference in the game, is McCoy to Shipley, Bradford coming back from injury, and also, of course, doesn't have Jermaine Gresham, which would be his favorite target if Gresham were healthy.
It is interesting. The common denominator between both of these teams, Bill Jones, has just been, you know, the injuries that have happened. And, of course, Texas now being hit pretty hard as far as in regards to the injuries. They're banged up. I mean, with when we talk about Trey Newton and his concussion, Vondrell McGee, his shoulder. So what Fuzzy Whitaker and Cody Johnson, they're going to be listed as the co-starting running backs.
Yeah, and, you know, Trey Newton is a kid that I saw play
many times.
yeah, many times in Southlake, and I just love Trey. And he's a great man.
We love his dad, too.
yeah. And I thought that Texas really was smart in recruiting Trey, especially for the offense that they run. And I was so proud of him to see what he's been able to do in the first month that he's, you know, his redshirt freshman year. Now, he had a problem with concussions in high school at Southlake also. And so when I saw that he went out with a mild concussion last week, I said, oh, no. But hopefully he'll be okay and he'll be able to play. And I talked to Nate yesterday, and, you know, it was still touch and go, but it could be a game-time decision whether or not Trey's able to play or not. But I think with all those running backs, you know, Cody Johnson's a different style. He's more of a short yardage type than any of the other three, and they all bring a little something different to the table. And Whitaker, I think, is the guy that they wanted to win that running back job to begin with, but he's been so beset by injuries, and he may be the healthiest of the bunch now. And, you know, he adds a little shiftiness and speed at that running back position, maybe even more so than what Newton or Vondrell McGee give.
We talk about Texas's playmakers and things offensively, but don't you think that this is going to become a defensive battle between both these teams? I mean, Oklahoma truly playing some just really terrific defense, and, of course, Texas, that's their staple.
Yeah, and Texas has improved defensively. Now, they lost some guys like Arakpo up front, and another defensive lineman up front that I think were really, in Arakpo's case, I mean, he was a difference maker. And when you go back and look at the tape of last year's game, I think one of the main reasons that Texas was able to at least hold Oklahoma's offense in check was he was having a field day with Phil Loadholt at one offensive tackle, and he was able to put some pressure on Bradford. Now, the question is, can Sergio Kendall do the same thing this year for Texas? But I think Texas secondary is better than what it was a year ago, and that's to be expected because it was such a young secondary last year. Now they've come of age. Most of those guys are sophomores back there and got an opportunity to play as freshmen, some as true freshmen last year, to where I think that probably gives them an advantage over Oklahoma in this game. Front seven for OU is the strength of OU's defense. I think with an injury concern with one of the safeties for Oklahoma, Quentin Carter, coming into this game, that and that was a question mark anyway, because they had lost Nick Harris and Lindy Holmes off last year's
yes.
team. You know, I like the OU corners, Dominique Franks, obviously, and then Brian Jackson on the other side. I went back and looked this past week at some of the tape from last year's game. Brian Jackson came so close last year to coming up with big plays, whether it be an interception or knocking a ball away from Shipley or whoever. And I guess you just credit Colt McCoy with just pinpoint accuracy. He came very close, though, to throwing a couple of picks in last year's game. So it'll come down to defense. It always does. And even though I say that, that doesn't mean necessarily it's going to be a low-scoring game, because, as you know, sometimes defense can lead to short fields and more points on the board just by big defensive plays happening.
Yeah, where did I read earlier this week? It said rivalries breed the unexpected. I mean, last year, of course, I kind of thought, you talk about putting 45 points on the board for Texas, 35 for Oklahoma. I mean, what kind of score total? What do you think that we're looking at this year, Bill?
Yeah, I think we're probably looking in the 20s, a 27-20 type game, something like that, although I wouldn't be surprised if it gets into the 30s. I know a lot of people are thinking, well, it could be more in the teens because of the strength of the defenses. But like I say, because it's a high-scoring game in the 30s doesn't mean there wasn't good defense play. I think in this day and age with the spread offenses, it's just something that kind of comes with the territory. That you're going to have higher scoring games. And let's face it, you just got two terrific quarterbacks playing in this game. And to think that it's going to be an SEC-type 13-3 struggle, something like that, I don't see that happening.
Okay, you talked about Sam Bradford and just how refined, how fantastic he certainly looked after, you know, 1 week of action. Seems like he's in midseason form. I mean, were you surprised to see him, throw 389 yards against Baylor last week? I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive, a quick recovery.
And I was really surprised, amazed at, I can't remember what ABC commentators were doing the game last week, but how they were saying that he's off. And so I was like, no, he's got 11 drop passes in this game. But you could, and I thought Landry Jones did a very nice job running the offense. He's a good college quarterback, but I also could see the difference in Bradford running the offense. And as much as the arm that he has, the accuracy that he throws the ball with, it's mentally. And he's so adept at that offense and being able to process things mentally, whether it's getting the signal from the sideline and getting to the team to the line of scrimmage faster, but also processing the play as it happens and being able to find the open receiver, especially on the backside. I think a lot of times before with Landry Jones, you were basically cutting the field in half, and his strong side, the right side, it was more of a right-handed offense. With Bradford, it's the whole field is in play, and I think that is why NFL scouts are drooling over Bradford, too. It's not just his arm, but it's his ability from a mental standpoint to be able to process things so quickly.
Which segues me to the next question, and I've got to talk to you about this. I mean, did Sam Bradford, did he truly make the right decision to return to Oklahoma, or should he have declared himself eligible last year for the NFL draft? I just keep thinking about, I mean, how many opportunities, I'm all about the college scene, Bill, but I mean, how many opportunities do you have to make truly millions? I know you're the father of daughters, but I mean, what kind of advice would you have perhaps given him, or if he was your son?
You know, I think he had to go with his heart on it. And obviously his heart said to come back for another year. And so I'm never going to criticize a guy for coming back for another year of college, if that's what his heart truly says. If he's gotten good advice, and I know he did, and so forth, I just don't see how you can be critical of it. The easy thing to say is, yeah, you take the money and run. But as Bob Stoops pointed out, there's no guarantee that he was going to be at the top of the draft either. I think that I've talked to some NFL scouts who say that he would have been drafted higher than Matthew Stafford. However, you go through the NFL combine and so forth, you see, measure the arm strength, athletic ability and so forth, and I'm not saying that Bradford wouldn't score well there, because I think he is a good athlete. But say a team was more enamored with Stafford, and then another team was more enamored with Mark Sanchez, well, Bradford might have slipped to the 15th pick. You just don't know for sure. And I think it's a travesty that the NFL makes these players decide so early after their seasons are completed.
True.
I mean, a January 15th date, I would like to see them put a policy in place where the player can go ahead and go through the NFL combine and then make his decision after it, much like what the NBA does. The NBA allows players to declare and then, without signing with an agent or having any contact with an agent, go through the physical process and really get an idea of where they're going to be drafted and then make their decision. I think it would be prudent for the NFL to do that with college players too.
You are listening to the voice of Bill Jones. That's right. We are talking Red River Rivalry. It is one of the best in all of college football. Of course, he is with CBS 11. We are quickly running out of time, and I only have time for about a couple more questions. I did want to ask you, because you have covered Landry Jones, can you kind of talk about his skill set? I mean, the future truly is very bright for Bob Stoops and for his Sooners.
Yeah, and I really liked him, and I didn't know what to expect because I hadn't seen him at all before when he came in against BYU in the game at Cowboys Stadium, and then the following week against Idaho State, the game that we did. And I was really impressed with how he handled the situation, number one, and especially not making mistakes when he came into the game against BYU. And then was impressed with, especially, as you know, because you were on the sidelines in that game against Idaho State. It was just a monsoon in the third quarter of that game. I don't need to tell you that. We were in the warm, dry.
You and Dean Blevins were warm and cozy up there in the press box, yeah.
But I was impressed with how he handled those conditions and the way he was able to throw the ball in the rain like that. I agree that I think the quarterback spot is in good hands with him. I do wish he'd shave the mustache, but apparently they've got OU's got this 5-star recruit coming in from Wichita, Kansas next year, Blake Bell. So it's going to be, you know, he'll have to stave off that competition in order to have the job, but I think he certainly has a leg up for next year.
Bob Stoops certainly knows how to pick him. Another exceptional man with Landry Jones. We'll keep our eye on that. And as we get ready to wrap up our interview, I know you cover the Dallas Cowboys very, very closely, and although they have a bye this week, they did win in dramatic fashion in overtime last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got to get your pulse and your assessment of those Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I'm going to have to start taking medicine or something. It's such a yo-yo ride.
You know, I think the key on the season is going to be the development of the young players on the team because, and we saw that last week with Miles Austin. Can he keep playing like he did last week? Tashard Choice, the health of Felix Jones, you know, Marion Barber getting healthy again. Those are all keys, but especially on the defensive side because they're going to have injuries as we go along during this season. And, I mean, hopefully not, but it's going to happen in the NFL, and I question the depth, especially on the defensive side, and if they have injuries to starters, who's going to fill those shoes? And I think that's one of the reasons they've had some problems late in games on defenses because they don't have the depth, and that's the main concern that I have going forward this season.
And they've got to get some discipline with those penalties. I mean, that was the most since, 2000? That was really bad.
Yeah. And I put it on the players more so than the coaches. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that four different defensive players basically line up offsides in the span of seven plays. They know where to line up. Their coach knows where to line up. It's just a matter of focus and discipline.
I promise my final question. We're talking Dallas Cowboys. Hey, Tony Romo, what's your take on him?
I've been very surprised at the inaccuracy of some of his passes at times. During this season, and in fact, against Denver a couple of weeks ago now, there was just a stretch during the game where, I mean, he was just so off with his passes. And he came back last week against Kansas City and was much better. And it's just that inconsistency that has me wondering about him. But again, I think it has a lot to do, and this is a great example of it, what happened with Miles Austin the week before against Denver.
Yes.
He, you know, on the Champ Bailey interception, well, there was obviously a miscommunication on the route between Romo and Miles Austin. They obviously got it corrected the following week because I think it was the exact same play with a little comeback route on the right side where Austin made the catch, broke a tackle, and scored the game-winning touchdown to win the game in overtime. And that's where you're getting back to even a veteran player like Romo working with a young player. It takes time for and reps for that to take shape. And so I guess maybe there is, I'm painting some hope for the Cowboys if they will work at it in practice.
I love the optimism, Bill. You sound great. And of course, the Dallas Cowboys will be back in action on the 25th as they will be hosting Atlanta. This is the first time Bill Jones has been joining us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Big Bill, great job. We will definitely have you back.
Yep, definitely. I'd love to do it anytime.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. We're going to step aside. Jason Peter will be joining us here in just a moment. Stay close.